Welcome to the Short Term Show, the show about short-term rentals and long-term wealth, with real property owners hosting real properties who are crushing it in the vacation and short-term rental space. And here's your host, Avery Carl.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back to another episode of the Short Term Show. Just want to make a few announcements real quick. We are still hiring agents in the Poconos, Park City, and Bourbon Trail of Kentucky. That's a new one. So we also need one more, I believe, in the Emerald Coast of Florida. So Panama City Beach, Destin 30A area. If you think that you might be a fit for any of these positions, email us at careers@theshorttermshop.com. All right, guys, now to today's episode. Thank you so much for being with us today. Our guest is Thibaut Masson. Did I say that right?
It's perfect.
Okay, great. He's the head of product marketing at Price Labs, one of my favorite tools, and I'm pretty sure a lot of yours as well. How's it going, Thibaut?
I'm doing great. Great. How about you, Abby?
I cannot complain. It was the last beach day of the year yesterday for us. Now we're basically, it's Christmas now. It's end of October, but pretty much it's Christmas. Once we head away from the beach, the last time of the year, it's now Christmas. So happy holidays. So thanks so much for being with us this week. And let's start off with just some basics. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into short-term rentals?
Sure. So I grew up in France. I live nowadays in the Netherlands in a small town by the North Sea, which is cold any day of the year. So that's how it is. I've been in the vacation rental world for about 20, 25 years, I would say. Started out in my 20s with my ex. We were visiting an island, a French island in the Caribbean. And we saw there was a house for sale there. We're like, just pretend we can afford it. So went and visited the house. And we talked with a real estate agent, and he was like, you know what? It's not a house. It's a business. Like, huh? And he's like, well, this house, it's already got bookings for next year. And if you go to the local bank, they understand this on this island. We understand the business really, really well. You have steady jobs in France. You'll be able to get a loan, and you already have this income coming up. Like, oh, and that, again, that was before Airbnb, right? So we're like, oh, so before we could afford our own home, we had a fancy villa in the Caribbean. It was not that fancy. We had to do a lot of renovation works over the years, but that's how it's got. Like, I got the vacation rental bug, like a lot of people. And then at some point, I joined Booking.com for 5 years, I was helping them understand the vacation rental world because they're coming from the hotel world. I created a short-term rental news website called Rental Scale Up, where we talk about trends in the industry, and that got sold. I sold it basically to Price Labs, and now I'm at Price Labs, where I'm the head of product marketing. And Rental Scale Up is still running. That's me really in a nutshell.
All right. So that is a much longer track record of owning vacation rentals than most people in the business today. So congratulations.
Yeah, my white beard shows it.
The Short Term Shop is hiring. We are hiring real estate agents in the best vacation rental markets in the nation. If you live in a beach town, a mountain town, or want to move to one, and you are a qualified rockstar realtor, please reach out to us. TheShortTermShop.com/careers. We are currently hiring in multiple markets. TheShortTermShop.com/careers.
So Booking.com, before we get into the Price Labs piece of it, Booking.com seems to be much more successful for Europeans than it is over here in the US. And I'm trying to figure out why that is, because Airbnb just did some things with, you know, the changing of the structuring of its fees to mirror what Booking.com is doing. Assume to be more competitive with them, but I'd like to hear about your experience with that.
Sure. I mean, I was speaking at the time VRMA, which is a big vacation rental conference. had a European event at that time. So it was like 10 years ago. And I was speaking there. For some reason, they had invited me to speak on stage. There was in a room people from booking.com, and they knew that Airbnb was coming, was there, and that they had missed the train. They had missed the train. They knew it. And they were like, we need people from the industry because we're not good at this, not good at that, and not good at these other things. Like, oh, wow, that's refreshing. They are brutally honest where when they're not good at. I'm trying to use proper words here. You see what I mean. And I'm like, okay, so let's talk about a job. And I got offered a job there at the headquarters in Amsterdam. That's why I moved from the Caribbean actually to the Netherlands. So not for the weather, for sure not, but I moved there to join the headquarters of Booking.com. And they had been amazingly successful with hotels, right? It's the number one hotel website in the world, much bigger than Expedia, much bigger. But they never cracked the US market. Never, even for hotels, right? Never cracked the US market. Very different market. In the US, for example, hotel chains are very powerful. People are very loyal to some brands, right? Not so in Europe, much fragmented market. So they could really, really come and really bring a lot of value to customers instead of going to thousands of websites, have this one place to book a hotel. Makes sense. But now all they knew was hotels. So meaning if you went to their tools, it was talking hotels. It was talking, first time I listed with them, it's like they were like, do you have a restaurant? How many rooms do you have? I'm like, I have a house. I don't have a restaurant. We don't serve breakfast. But the tool was like this, but they knew it. So they needed people to adapt to this. And so they made progress, but not there. They made progress. They understood this. They understood that vacation rental managers have a portfolio of properties. Hotel is one property. For a manager, you have a portfolio of properties. Very different. The one thing that was different, though, to crack the US market for short-term rentals was their commission. Commission at Booking.com was basically exactly as you said, Avery, is the model that Airbnb has now if you're PMS-connected professional or host, which is taking 15% from the money made by the revenue, basically made by the host. That was their model. That was Booking.com's model. And you would go to talk to US hosts, they're like, well, Airbnb is costing me 3%. You guys are 15%. We don't want you, just more expensive. You could do the math any day, anytime, say, yeah, but there's no guest fee. So in the end, just increase your prices, you can make up for it, as people have to do right now with Airbnb in the US. But people felt that the channel was way more expensive, five times as much. So that's why they could not crack the US market at first. Again, the brand, if you fast forward to today, the brand is still not as powerful as Airbnb, for sure not. Mm-hmm. But you know what? They're good. They're maybe slow. It's a machine, though. So they're really able to generate a lot of bookings. And they've gained a lot of share in the US, in Europe, for example. So and now that Airbnb has this same fee, kind of looks like it's not so hard. There's the big hurdle they had. It's kind of basically disappearing because the whole business model now is the same. So it's going to be very interesting. Long story, but very interesting to me.
Yes. I think it is going to be very interesting. Exactly what's going to happen. Because I don't know what the split and the percentages are from how much of the market share Airbnb has in the US versus Europe versus bookings.com or booking.com, excuse me. So I don't know all those numbers, but it is interesting that they're now kind of leveling the playing field and exactly what's going to happen. I mean, booking.com here has been extremely clunky for us to try and use. So if they can sort that out, they might have, you know, a clear path to actually compete with Airbnb here.
Yeah, exactly. And then when it comes to marketplaces are three things really, right? They bring supply and demand, they're a place of trust, and they're a payment platform. Payments have not been Booking.com strength in the US for sure for a long time. Because of trust as well, it's kind of tricky because you could argue that, you know, the two-way reviews on Airbnb kind of helps you understand who's coming, whether Booking.com has always been like, you know, guests can book whoever they want. So there's always been a feeling that it's not as complete a product as Airbnb. But that's, again, they are getting there. So it's going to be very interesting to see.
Yeah, I agree. Well, since you brought up Marketplace and you are the head of product marketing at Price Labs, let's talk about that. Do y'all have anything cool happening? It's the end of 2025 right now. So product-wise, what's going on?
All right. Three things for you.
Okay.
Let me open my magic hat. First rabbit. First thing, we have something pretty cool, which called dynamic mainstay. What I meant to say that 10 years ago when Price Labs started, the other computers started, it was about making prices more dynamic, meaning that demand was changing and prices would go up when demand would go up and demand would go down, prices would go down, that was dynamic. But we know that it's not, that's the first pillar of revenue management, pricing. The second pillar is length of stays. The length of stays, it's the other pillar of revenue management, meaning obviously if in a high season you can ask for, in some markets can still ask for 7 day a week as a 7 day a week for a minimum stay. It's still possible in some markets in high season, for example. But if you do this in a low season, maybe you're not going to get any bookings. So you can't be in, you have to be flexible here. What we've seen with Price Lab, a lot of looking at data from last few years, actually it's way more than this. You can't just have the minimum length of stay in the low season, one for the shoulder season, one for high season. It's much more complicated than that. You should think, okay, if I'm getting a booking today, if it's for next year, maybe I will ask for way longer minimum length of stay. If it's a booking for tomorrow, maybe I will ask something shorter, 3 or 4 nights if I want to fill up my calendar, for example. So it means that at any given moment, actually there's a lot of calculations to be made for a booking at a certain period coming up. What should be my length of stay? And we made this dynamic. Basically, we also have an algorithm behind the scenes that for each property, for each month of the year, is able to say for, let's say, next December or next January, that should be your minimum length of stay for last minute, for far out bookings, for often nights. And basically, and you will enter your minimum, just like you enter minimum price, you enter your minimum. So basically the length of stay can vary, not drastically, but we'll adapt to this. And also we adapt to your occupancy. If your listing is really empty, we'll maybe go and start in the next 90 days, you have no stays. We may shorten the minimum length of stay, so you start getting bookings. So I don't know if I'm being clear here, Avery. Is it clear where I'm going here?
Yeah. So instead of just dynamic pricing, it's also dynamic length of stay, which I think is a really cool tool because I would say, a good percentage of the people who come to us and say, hey, I'm not getting booked. When I look, it's because it's low season and they have, let's say, a 3-night minimum night stay on a small property, but weekends are only 2 nights. So you're keeping away all of the weekend bookings. So a lot of times when people are not having success, it's either a pricing problem or a length of stay problem. So I think that's a great addition to the tool for sure.
I agree. It's really the second pillar, right? And for basically every month, even for far out and last minute, we'll give a recommendation for both weekend and weekday because we know shoulder season, for example, weekends are so important. So we're going to give this recommendation for the next 12 months. And then you click on the button, we'll make it happen. Again, we calculate it for every listing in every market, right? That's why a human, it's hard for a human to do. Just like for the pricing would be hard for a human to do, but we give control to people. The second thing it's really unlocking revenue here. Another thing we have now rolling out to also unlock revenue is something got the scoop here. I don't think we talked about it online before. It's called Listing Optimizer. Listing Optimizer. So believe it or not, at Price Labs, everybody has to answer customer tickets. The CEO, I have to, everybody has to, engineers, everybody. Because in the end of the day, if you don't know the pains, where people are struggling, you really don't feel that maybe, that's why you have an idea, we could improve our product like this, like that. Or you really want to feel what's happening in the field. Or maybe we just rolled out something new and people don't get it. And we see these tickets and people turn to me. It's like, wow, that's really badly explained. People really don't get the thing. So we answer tickets. And sometimes we look at tickets and I look at the settings and I'm like, price looks right. Minimum length of stay, the second pill looks okay. Huh, let me check the listing. You click on this and we go and see the listing on Airbnb. And I'm like, ooh, brand new property, zero review, or terrible photos, or amenities, there's something really missing. Like everybody has a, you know, everybody has a pool in that market, or you know, a hot tub in the shoulder season import in that market. They don't. And I'm like, ooh, that's really, really bad. Or description is just terrible. Title is not enticing. So we developed Listing Optimizer because sometimes what's blocking people from increasing the revenue, our job is to increase revenue. It's not the pricing. It's not minutes of stays. Before that, it's the listings. So what we did, basically, we are able to look at, and we have so much data, right? We stored 7 to 8 years of data from Airbnb. So we know which listing get booked, basically. So we're able to really have the big trends and be able to say for every listing, imagine you have a listing of 10, you have 10 listing in portfolio, we're able to give a score and to say, okay, that's how you're doing on your description, title, photos. And then we compare you, each listing against, let's say, the three most revenue-making, revenue-generating listings in your market, your direct competitors. And then we score you against them. So it means, imagine you do this for a portfolio. It means basically immediately you see your listings where you need to take action. The one that's scoring the lowest, and you see why, and we use then AI to recommend descriptions and things. It's not, and it's better at just ChatGPT would, right? Because we base it on what we know makes money in a way. So that's what we're doing. We're just releasing this because we do believe, again, it's you, if you're not visible, if you're not on Airbnb presenting well as much as you can, you actually may sometimes need to sacrifice your prices. Just to make up for a bad listing. I know maybe something you see sometimes with owners, but some owners, it's very hard to discuss with them. So I've seen some property managers take that product and go to owners and say, we're scoring bad because you know, not investing in amenities, and sometimes even paying for a new set of professional photographs, photos that you should be paying for. So it is very interesting. I hope it resonates with you as well.
Yeah. I think that is another big thing where we see people making mistakes and leaving money on the table with a property that's a fine property, a property that should be making money, and they end up losing a lot of money just because their listing isn't good enough. You know, maybe they just have like a one or two sentence description that doesn't actually say anything about the property. It just says, you know, stay in the whimsical cabin in the woods and experience nature. But that doesn't tell you how many bedrooms, how many bathrooms, what are the sleeping spaces like, how far are we from town and attractions and things. So big bad pictures, another big one. You know, people think that they can get away with iPhone pictures, which you could back in the day when I first started back in the dark ages, but you can't anymore. You have to have professional photos. So I think you've already addressed some of the main issues that I see with people who have good properties that are still leaving money on the table. So you guys are crushing it so far. Did you have a third rabbit you said you were coming out of the hat with?
Yeah, we have now. That's super short. This one is not a product. It's a course. We just launched a free course. So we already had a free course for hosts. Now it's a course for maybe people who are new. We just imagine you have a new employee at a property management company, you want them to get a good taste of revenue management for a portfolio, right? For example, not just the basic data, such as ATR, average daily rates or RevPAR, all this data, but you want them to say, oh, you want them to be able to read a chart, revenue management chart, right? Or to look at occupancy. Okay, how are we pacing against the market? Have them be able to read a chart where they can see, okay, that's how we're pacing this year. That's how we were last year. So we're doing better. And so sometimes you want new employees to know this. So we have this new course. It's free. Just go to Price Labs trainings. You will find this and you can even get certified. So I think it's pretty amazing. And we have an advanced one coming up end of the year because we do realize that, I don't know for you, but I think in our industry, none of us, there's no school for what, I mean, right. There are great podcasts, so great resources, right? But it's like no school. And revenue management, what's interesting as well, still not, up till today, most of the revenue management courses are really for hotels. So to find a good revenue management course is tricky. So we realize that it's important for us that we equip not just hosts, but even employees at companies. And we help them understand the industry. It's actually product agnostic, but of course, we do show example with Price Labs. That's pretty cool.
Okay. Yeah. I think that that is super helpful for people to have an actual course from y'all to learn how to use Price Labs effectively. Love that.
This episode is brought to you by Short Term Rental Listing Advice. Join this Facebook group and post your listing to get advice from other hosts, including myself, on how you can improve your listing. Or just post your property so you can show off. Join us at strlistingadvice.com. That's strlistingadvice.com. If you're looking to buy a beach house, a lake house, a mountain house, a vacation house, a short-term rental, a vacation rental, a second home, please contact your friends at The Short-Term Shop. We are a family-owned business, and we operate in all of the best vacation rental markets in America, including the Great Smoky Mountains, the Emerald Coast with Destin, Panama City Beach, Orlando, Florida, the Disney Market, Gulf Shores, Blue Ridge, Outer Banks, Carolina Beach, Western North Carolina, Scottsdale, Arizona, Broken Bow, Oklahoma. The list goes on. We are the best in the biz, and we want to earn your trust. Please contact us at theshorttermshop.com.
Okay, so those are three really cool things happening at Price Labs. I know what I use Price Labs for most. So the way our business works is my husband does most of the management. So he's the one in there doing the pricing with Price Labs. But what I use Price Labs for is the Price Labs market dashboards. I have a lot of those where I am looking at income potential of properties, and I have loved that product for the last few years, especially that you can like carve out a perimeter or a neighborhood that you only want to look at properties in that little area. That helps a lot, I think, especially because with other data sources, the perimeter just is what it is, and you're looking at the entire market no matter what. You can't change it. But I like being able to draw out my own little perimeter of where I want to see the property's performances. So that's my favorite part of Price Labs.
That's great to hear. And thanks for saying that, because also this year we invested a lot. I know I've seen this, but we've improved a lot the maps, you know, because you also realize when you want to draw things, it should be easy to do. You should have a lot of data on the maps themselves. Because many people have their visual, so the maps are very important. Indeed, market dashboard is interesting for this. Some people want also maybe to enter some markets. They want to see, okay, we want to expand in these markets, how to do. Or also what we see for market dashboard, some people maybe they want to stay in their market, but they want to understand, for example, how bigger houses do. You know, bigger vacation rentals, more than 5 rooms, what are they doing in this market? I know, I don't have any. So it's very, very interesting to study a market, get to know more. And last thing to do as well, I don't know if you're using that, it's also really cool to do comp sets, to be able basically also to compare what, you know, what our friends are doing around in the area, right? So be able to say, I want to follow what's happening and get market data, again, around, you know, certain professionals, for example, and see what they're up to. We'll see what the best Airbnbs are. And again, it's also useful to study, but also, again, sometimes to show to owners, to say, that's the most performing ones in the market. And look at how they look. And sometimes I do find it great as well for me. It's like how we can sometimes be very useful to a property manager who has sometimes to have a tough talk with the owner. And we can bring the data, bring the examples, and that can hopefully help everybody make the right decisions to get more bookings.
Yeah, that really does help. And I do use the comp sets where, you know, if I'm looking for a one bedroom and I can see the top performing one bedroom and the range that it's probably making in the market, then it makes it a lot easier to what we at the Short Term Shop call the enemy method, which is basically just a competitor analysis, checking out your enemies. It makes it really easy to do when you have that list, and then you can click through their links and say, okay, you know, there's been times that I think that my income on a property is great, and then I've been in that comp set looking just for other things, for maybe a property that to compare to a property that we're going to buy, And I see some numbers on some competitors. I'm like, dang, what are they doing? Their property is not nicer than mine. What are they doing? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you can jump in and really see where people are doing things differently from you. And I also really like that you can sort or filter by the number of reviews and how high the reviews are, because I think that's really important that if you're a five-star host, you're not comparing yourself to four-star hosts, which is a significantly lower, you know, it's a big drop.
That's what you're saying is such a gem, right? So if you're doing market, if you do a comp set, again, a comp set is notion of that, I will be selecting competitors and then recalculate the whole value of my market. So how many listings in the markets there are, how much money they're making and occupancy and the rest against that definition of the market, the ones I'm picking. But indeed, you probably want to pick the ones who have at least, I don't know, successful ones. So let's say above 4.8 review score, which are good ones. And you probably want people who have occupancy who's more than, I don't know, 10 or 20%. You don't want to compare yourself against the empty ones because that could go the other way. You know, again, you want to. So it's really Goldilocks in a way. It can't be too restrictive, can't be too loose. But that's why you probably need to create then several definitions of a market, your own comp sets. But indeed, it's really important. You want to really compare, you know, against two to three bedrooms that have decent reviews and have some level of occupancy. Maybe that's your definition of the market. And by doing this, you do make it harder because you don't have in your definition of the competing market the bad ones, bad apples. Mm-hmm. But that then also can make you shine, really see where you improve. I really like this. Last thing I would add about this, also in Market Dashboards also shows you, I don't know if you use that, but the cleaning fee amounts. Because to me, it's also important. Yeah. And you see people, oh, wow, they're charging that much and they get away with it. It's interesting. Sometimes, you know, if you have a big villa, big house, it is costly. It takes time to do this. And sometimes it's, you know, we don't know what to do and do other people do it. And if you see, don't know market, you see that's how it is in the market. That's how people do. But could be the other way around. We see markets now, people are removing the cleaning fee. But again, that's, you want to know what the others are doing on this as well, because just not the nightly rate can give you information. But in the end, the cleaning fee is also very important. Again, for a big villa, that's going to be a very big impact on your booking rate in the end.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And guys, if you're listening and you're like, what are these people talking about? I didn't do this on purpose, but a few episodes back, maybe five or six episodes back, there is an episode with me and Wade Hall where we are using the Price Labs Market Dashboards tool to analyze a property. So just scroll back a few episodes if you're confused about what we're talking about, and you can see it in real time. And it is on YouTube also if you're listening. So if you go on our YouTube channel, it's at the Short Term Shop, you'll be able to find it. It's pretty cool. And I didn't do this on purpose for that to, yes, I did. I'm a genius marketer and I did this on purpose. So anyway, scroll back and you'll be able to check it out.
Oh, I like it. You're talking about the tool you're using, and I think there's so much value in actually talking tools you're actually using. I think it's people turn to people they want to listen to, right? What are you using and how? That's so important.
Yeah, and it really is. And so we're coming towards the end of our show though, and is there anything that you want our listeners to hear about Price Labs, about anything you have coming up that I haven't asked about that you think they should hear?
Yeah, I think there's, what's interesting is that obviously, you know, when you have a podcast, it's always hard to know exactly who's listening, right? Mm-hmm. And something I want to reinforce is that for a lot of people, tools like Price Labs it's not about the features. It's not about the features. Talk about the features. It's about the algorithm, the quality in the end. How is a tool like this able to detect pricing changes in your market, how it's able to adapt. And the tools today, they can do a lot for you, right? So that's what's important as well to understand is that sometimes, especially if you're starting out in the industry with a new listing, sometimes it's just good to let the algorithm run and see what it does and then start adding maybe some customizations here and there, not to go too crazy if you're not sure. That's my message, because sometimes, obviously, I'm a marketer. I would tell you, I could talk anytime about new features. But in the end, sometimes actually the algorithm themselves, they improve so much that letting the algorithm run first and then seeing where you need to fine tune, maybe because you have a certain way of running your business, or maybe an owner has some preferences, you need to fine tune, of course. But first, look at what the algorithm does, because they're really improving nowadays. Just the core engine, that's so important.
Totally agree. Great. I think it's been a great chat so far. Sometimes when we're talking to somebody from a company, it's hard to like relate and really use it in examples. But this has been very easy to chat with you. So thank you for that.
Well, thanks a lot. Great. You know, when you get great questions, and I love talking shop, right? I love talking shop. So the short-term shop, obviously, the best place for that.
Well, thank you. So you're not off the hook, though, on the last three questions that we asked every guest. So they're not hard. They're not going to trip you up. So first question, what advice would you give 20-year-old Tebow if you knew then what you know now?
Experiment, right? What I mean by experimenting is both taking a small risk to see how it goes, but that's not a crazy risk either. You can still make up your mind. So experiment in life, where you want to live, what you want to do. That's the advice. Experiment, because that's how you get to discover things and meet people. And that's all about meeting people in the end. So.
Great answer. And next question, what advice would you give to a new short-term rental investor who's looking to get started today?
I'm going to be obvious, but get data. What I meant to say that there's so much data now out there. You have a lot of tools available from Price Labs, you know, by other people. There's really a lot of data. You want to get the data right. And also, if you're an investor, you you have to be clear about your goal, right? Are you really investing to get more money, or are you picking a place for you, for yourself, where you want to stay at some point? Because myself, it's going to be a long answer, but in a way, but for example, one of the houses we had, we lived in Bali. We loved Bali, wanted to be there. Fantastic. But it was way too far in the rice fields. Beautiful. Way too far away from the markets. No property manager would take it because you're just too far. So it was a great place for us, but as an investment, to get short-term rental money, not. So again, think of your data, think of location. Are you there? Is it to make yourself happy, or are you purely investing? So I think that you have data to do this, but in the end of the day, you have to be clear about your own why you're doing this. That's very important. Don't get in the way of investment sometimes.
Great advice. And last, what's your favorite book that's impacted your mindset?
That's a good one. I think it's called in English, bear with me, 20 Leagues Below the Sea from Jules Verne. So basically,
yes, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, yes.
Thank you, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. I didn't grow up in the south, but I grew up in the east of France, small mountains. It's like the Blue Mountains, like Appalachia. So basically, it's really not the fancy, it's not Paris. I really wanted to get out of this, and I knew I wanted to travel. And I read this book. I'm like, oh, wow, that's pretty cool. How about traveling the world? And technology can make you do that. And this guy built this. I guess that's somewhat why I wanted to live abroad and travel so much and work in tech. It's really weird, but I think it comes down to it. So again, get your kids to read books. That's what I'm trying to do with mine.
Yes, definitely trying to encourage that love of reading early, for sure. All right, Tebow, thank you so much for coming on. And if our listeners want to follow you on social media or find you, how can they do that? Other than, I guess, you know, asking a question on the help desk at Price Labs.
You can always send an email support@pricelab.co. I may be the one answering the tickets. If not, just mention my name, they will direct it. LinkedIn is the best way. LinkedIn is the best way. I'm pretty active there. I try to shoot videos every 2 weeks, and usually I would be in my kids' bedroom and maybe wear one of the hats, use one of their one prop, another thing to talk about the industry, but hopefully in a nice, funny way. So LinkedIn is the best place. So Thibaut Masson, that's it. So hopefully you can find me with my difficult name, but I'm there.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you so much for coming on again.
Thank you so much for having me on the show, and goodbye, everyone.